It is time now for More to the Story from WNCW. I'm your host, Paul Foster. We're discussing this week the article, Politics in the Pulpit, Where to Draw the Line, by state and federal government and politics reporter of the Asheville Citizen-Times, Mark Barrett. Mark, good morning.
Morning, Paul.
It's good to have you back on More to the Story. Your story talked about that President Donald Trump had recently proposed ending a 1954 law that says churches and other religious organizations risk losing tax-exempt status if they endorse political candidates. So I know from your article you reached out to some area churches and you interviewed some pastors for your story for their opinion.
Yeah, there seems to be a pretty good diversity of opinion out there, although I would say probably the majority like the law the way it is, and even some who want to change it don't necessarily themselves want to, say, endorse a candidate from the pulpit. A little background, Lyndon Johnson, when he was in the Senate, got some opposition in a primary back in the 1950s from a candidate who I believe the tie was to the oil and gas industry, and there was some nonprofit organization that worked against Johnson in the election. And he didn't like that, and so subsequently he got this law passed that said organizations, including churches, that have nonprofit status can't endorse or work for a candidate and retain that status. So it's an either-or kind of deal. You can be a nonprofit and keep your mouth shut to a certain extent, or you can get involved in politics and not be a nonprofit. It doesn't prevent churches from becoming involved in politics, but it's a powerful disincentive for them to do so.
The Trump presidency certainly has had a lot going on since he arrived in Washington. And going back to that 1954 law, has Congress said much regarding support or opposition?
I've seen just a little bit about that, and it doesn't, at this point, appear to be a high priority for Congress. I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see how big of a push President Trump's administration gives it. He did talk about it during the campaign. Apparently, he met with some pastors who, you know, were favorable toward his candidacy, and he asked them, well, you know, why aren't you talking about this more? And they said, well, here's why. And it was the Johnson Amendment. He brought this up again during the National Prayer Breakfast. It was on February 2nd, and I think the word that the president used was he would destroy, quote, the amendment. Whether it ends up happening, I don't know.
In the piece that you put together, you actually spoke to some pastors. You mentioned their name, what city they're in, and their church, of course. Would you say for the most part that pastors and churches in this day and time, for the most part, are still avoid, especially from behind the altar at the pulpit, backing a particular candidate?
Yeah, it appears to be that way, at least in this part of the world. I don't know as much about what happens across the country, although there was a survey done by an organization out of Nashville in which they asked a random sample of Americans a number of questions about this issue. One of them was, have you heard your pastor endorse a candidate from the pulpit? And it was a pretty strong majority said no, they hadn't. Interestingly, I think most people assume that this would be a big advantage for more conservative congregations that may or may not seem to be aligned with the Republican Party on some issues. But the survey found that the group of churchgoers who were most likely to hear an explicit endorsement from the pulpit were actually people who attend predominantly African-American Protestant churches. If I remember correctly, I think it was still a minority, maybe about a quarter or a third of those folks said they had heard their pastor make an endorsement. Most churches, even in that category, are not making endorsements. Now, there are pastors who talk about issues, certainly, and I think this happens probably more around Election Day, is the issue of abortion rights. It's certainly not unusual for a conservative pastor to talk about that from the pulpit. And I suppose if you're critical of that, you might say, well, churchgoers can connect the dots and they can figure out which candidates are pro-life and which are pro-choice, and that's probably true. But there are a lot of people out there, they just don't want to hear it. A lot of churchgoers don't feel like that's the place for their pastor. Well, I spoke to the Reverend Skip Gillikin. He is the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Weaverville. He would like to see the law repealed. He also said that if he were to endorse a candidate from church, the next time he met with his church elders, they would say, "What are you doing? That's not our role. That's not our job." I think that's a pretty common position out there. Others like the law just fine.
You're hearing the voice of Mark Barrett of the Asheville Citizen Times as we discuss his recent article, "Politics in the Pulpit, Where to Draw the Line." In our remaining time this morning, Mark, I want to go into a couple of other parts of your article. One of those was called, I believe, "Money Changers."
Well, one of the dangers that folks who like the law the way it is see is if churches become more involved in politics, they feel like their primary mission will be subverted, that their main mission is a religious one, not to get someone elected or to keep someone else from getting elected. They worry that a bona fide religious institution could end up spending its time on politics and not on religion. They also worry that not bona fide religious institutions, if you will, might be created simply to take advantage of that tax exemption to get someone elected. If you or I were to give money to a candidate, we can't take that off on our taxes. If you give money to your church or synagogue or other religious institution, you know, it is subject to tax deduction. There would be an incentive there if the Johnson Amendment were to go away.
And another thing you brought up in your article was the IRS.
It's not as big of a threat as people perhaps think it is. I quoted a law professor who has looked at this a good bit. He said that the IRS is pretty lax about this. Folks may remember the whole issue with Tea Party-related groups and the IRS a few years ago toward the beginning of the Obama administration. Having gone down that road and gotten a lot of criticism, it doesn't appear that the IRS is really that anxious to deal with this law and, you know, be very strict about the enforcement from all accounts.
Politics in the Pulpit, Where to Draw the Line, by State and Federal Government and Politics reporter of the Citizen Times, Mark Barrett. Mark, how can everyone keep up with your stories and how can they track you online?
You can go to www.citizen-times.com. You can keep track of me on Twitter. It's at Mark Barrett, A-C-T.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Glad to do it.
More to the Story is also available as a podcast at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster reporting.